conditional use number 2418, Nanticoke Indian Association.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a modification of conditions of approval relating to conditional use number 1018 to modify building size limitations to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 0.91 acres more or less. The property is lying on the south side of John J. Williams Highway, which is Route 24, approximately 200 feet west of Leighton Davis Road, which is Sussex County Route 312A. The 911 address is 27073 John J. Williams Highway, Millsborough, and the tax parcel ID is District 234, Map 29, Parcel 53.00. Submitted into the record, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the applicant's conceptual site plan, we have a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet, we have a copy of the staff analysis, we have a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation response, we have a copy of the applicant's legal description for the property, we have a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, and I would note that we have received zero comments. Thank you.
All right, so we thank you, and the chair recognizes Mr. Hutt.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is David Hutt, a local attorney here in Georgetown with the law firm of Morris James. At the outset, I did want to thank the Planning Commission staff and the other applicants for adjusting the public hearing schedule this afternoon. That is greatly appreciated. This afternoon, I am representing the Nanticoke Indian Association, who is the applicant for conditional use 2418, as well as the owner of the property that is the subject of this conditional use application, as it was just introduced by Mr. Whitehouse a moment ago. With me to assist as needed, sitting to my right, your left, as you face me, is Mark Davidson, the principal land planner with Pannoni. And to my left, in the third row back on the far end of the row, is Chief Avery Johnson of the Nanticoke Indian Association. As you know from other presentations that I've made in front of this body, if there's one thing that I enjoy, it's history. And certainly an application that involves the Nanticoke Indian tribe is directly connected and has a great deal of history. Fortunately, this application doesn't involve all of that, so that the comments tonight this afternoon won't be as lengthy as they might otherwise be. I'm sure everyone is familiar along John J. Williams Highway or Route 24 at its intersection with Oak Orchard Road or Route 5. There is, of course, the Nanticoke Indian Museum, which when I first learned about this application is actually what I thought we were talking about until I realized that it's the place a little bit further west on Route 24. As you can see on the screens, it's close to the Leighton Davis Road. And if you head west from the intersection I just described where the Nanticoke Indian Museum is located, you would of course come to the present home and location of the Nanticoke Indian Cultural Community Center. Specifically, it's about 200 feet west of the intersection of Leighton Davis Road and Route 24. And the property contains a little less than an acre. It's about 0.9 acres, and it will be reduced a little further as part of this process, should this be favorably acted upon by County Council, as DLDOT is receiving a dedication of some additional right-of-way. As I noted at the very outset, this application does abound with history everywhere. And even the history of how this property became to be owned by the Nanticoke Indian Association has some interesting history. These deeds are within the project book materials that the Planning Commission has, but in 1929, Isaac and Vina, hopefully I'm saying her name right, Harmon, conveyed the property to the Indian River School District for the descendants of the Nanticoke Tribe of Indians. In 2006, the Indian River School District for the descendants of the Nanticoke Indian Tribe of, or Nanticoke Tribe of Indians rather, conveyed the property to the Nanticoke Indian Association as it's presently titled today. That deed is interesting and probably only to people who went to law school. Mr. Robertson will remember this because it has a possibility of reverter, which is a very arcane real property topic, which is frustrates all first-year law students in law school with all those strange principles of real property law. But the deed does contain a possibility of reverter, and essentially what that means in the context of this property is that the property will revert to the Indian River School District in the event that the property ceases to be used by the Nanticoke Indian Association as a social or cultural center for the advancement of history, culture, and tribal heritage of the Nanticoke Indians. I point that out for two reasons. One, because I enjoy real property, but two, and more importantly, because it indicates that this property, and it has been used this way, but it has to be used as part of the tribal and cultural history of the Nanticoke Indian Association. Today, of course, the Cultural Community Center on that parcel houses the Tribal Affairs Office, provides programs and services that include a food bank, community center, community dinners, cultural arts and crafts lessons, native drum and dance programs, educational programs, heritage and cultural activities, youth and senior programs, elder programs, healthcare services, and mental health and domestic violence services. Again, it's a cultural community center, as its name indicates. While all of that legal work and the deeds and such were being put in place, the Nanticoke Indians Association was already well on its land use journey as well, making sure the property was used in keeping with Sussex County's ordinances for this property. The property is zoned AR1, and so in 1992, an ordinance was passed by County Council, Ordinance Number 859, as part of Conditional Use 1018, and that conditional use was for an Indian Center Tribal Office and Meeting Place, and we have the minutes from that meeting within the project book materials, but did not have a copy of the actual ordinance, and while the county can certainly access it for ease of reference, I'll hand a copy of that ordinance to Mr. Whitehouse and Mr. Roberts. So that 1992 ordinance established the use on the conditional use on this AR1 land. In 2018, that ordinance was amended by conditional use number 2115 when County Council adopted ordinance number 2554, and that was to allow for an on-premises electronic message center sign on the property to replace the static display sign that was destroyed by a car before that. That conditional use and ordinance is within your project book materials. It is within tab five of the project book. The original conditional use that you all now have in your hands had five conditions. This afternoon's application seeks to amend the first condition regarding the size of the building. Before getting into the specific amendment to the first condition, I did want to make sure sufficient record was developed for this application, as it has a number of unique funding sources. And I wanted to quickly run through some basic characteristics of the land and some land use elements for this property and the proposed project. On this first slide, if you can go back, Mr. Davidson. On the first slide, you can, of course, see the property. We pointed out its proximity to Leighton Davis Road, and the business you see right where the cursor was a moment ago on the right-hand side of Leighton Davis Road is WMF Watercraft and Marine. You can see above that is a picture or rendering of the front view as you would face the proposed cultural community center, and on the right is a site plan that is proposed for this. The second slide is a conglomeration of a number of land use tools that the Planning Commission sees on a regular basis. Beginning with the upper left-hand corner, of course, is an excerpt from the Sussex County zoning map, and that zoning map shows a mixture of zoning classifications. Of course, the unshaded areas are agricultural residential. Moving east on Route 24, the bright red is C1 general commercial. The darker shade of red is the CR1 commercial residential district. Immediately next to that, the yellow is, you'll recognize, as the county's MR, medium density residential district. And then at the top and bottom of the screen, you can see the tannish color, and that of course is general residential or the GR district. If we expanded that just a little bit, you'd pick up even more commercial zoning designations. There's C2 immediately past that, which is of course the county's medium commercial. There's also B1 immediately past that, the neighborhood business district, which are all things you would anticipate along a major collector like Route 24. Moving immediately below the zoning map is a conditional use map. You can see there are conditional uses in this area, and the best description of those is found in the staff analysis report. It demonstrates that there are 9 approved conditional uses within a 1-mile radius of this property. So between the various zoning classifications that you see, as well as the conditional uses, the area consists of agricultural uses, single-family homes on individual lots, as you can see on the images in the zoning map, as well as, of course, single-family homes in residential communities like Patriots Glen and Indian Summer Village. And of course, multifamily uses just off the screen to the right of that zoning map would be the Riverside Apartments. There's a number of businesses that exist along this section of Route 24, including JB Builders, the Millsboro Animal Hospital, and WMF Watercraft and Marine at the corner that we pointed out a moment ago. On the right-hand side of this slide at the top, you can see an excerpt from the 2045 future land use map as it's contained in the 2018 Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. And as you can see, everything is yellow because this area, Sussex County, is all part of the coastal area, which the commission will recognize as a growth area that supports a wide variety of uses, including cultural community centers such as exists on this property. In the bottom right-hand corner is a portion of the state strategies and investment level map. I believe that's orange color that this property resides in is a level two area on the state strategies map. And I wanted to look at some of the language that's within the state strategies manual. Oftentimes we talk about level two, how it's akin to level one. According to the state and the Office of State Planning Coordination, level two areas, the state investments and policies should support and encourage a wide range of uses and densities, promote other transportation options, foster efficient use of existing public and private investments, and enhance community identity and integrity. And the community identity is not always something that is self-evident in an application, but certainly in this application certainly helps to support the community identity of Sussex County, and particularly in this area of Sussex County. The next slide is simply a pictorial history of the property through aerial imagery, beginning in 1926, and then it moves as the images progress in time all the way through 2007. The property is within Zone X on FEMA's flood maps, which, as the commission is familiar, means that it is outside of the 500-year floodplain, rather. There are no wetlands located on the property. Water is provided to the property by Tidewater Utilities. Sanitary sewer for the property currently occurs through an on-site wastewater disposal system. Having said that, the property is within a Tier 1 level within the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District. And one of the memos that Mr. Whitehouse referenced as being in the record was from the Sussex County Engineering Department, indicating that there is capacity for the Cultural Community Center to become part of and connected to that system. In order to connect to that system, there's a number of easements that need to be granted. Nanticoke Indian Association is actively pursuing those easements, and should they be successful in obtaining the easements, they will connect to the county sewer system. A service level evaluation request was filed with DLDOT, who responded that pursuant to the terms of its memorandum of understanding with Sussex County, the traffic impact for the expansion of the community center would be negligible. Of course, that means that it anticipates less than 50 vehicle trips per hour and less than 500 vehicle trips per day. On the final slide that is on the screens around the room, you can see that the association has put its time in the queue to good use. During that time, you can see in the upper left-hand corner that has its low no or letter of no objection to recordation from DLDOT. In addition, it's received state fire marshal approval, approval from the Sussex Conservation District, and entrance approval from DLDOT. And I say all that to foreshadow that I would anticipate that if County Council acts favorably on this conditional use application, you will in very short order see a final site plan seeking your approval so that this project can move forward. With respect to the specific request this afternoon to amend the existing conditions, as I mentioned, conditional use number 1018 had five conditions. The first one is the one that is seeking amendment. That first condition says the conditional use shall be limited to a 20-foot by 50-foot addition to the existing structure. When the association acquired this property, there was a 1,250-square-foot 25 by 50 building on it. As you just heard from that first condition, there was an addition of 20 feet by 50 feet made to that, which added another 1,000 square feet to this so that the building was allowed to be under that conditional use, 2,250 square feet. If you look very carefully at the site plan, you'll see that presently the building is 2,246 or 4 square feet short of that maximum 2,250 square feet. The proposed addition involves additional structures on both sides. Mr. Davidson's highlighting now on both sides of the existing building. The combined square footage of those two parts of the building additions would be 2,613 square feet, bringing the total building to 4,859 square feet. Within the, the request this afternoon would be that condition number one would be amended to state that the building, in parentheses, community center on the property, shall be limited to 5,000 square feet. I proposed 5,000 square feet rather than the precise 4,859 square feet to leave a little bit of room in case the building, there was a dimension that was changed slightly. The purpose of the room, and you can see that on the, or the purpose of the addition rather, and you can, there's some architectural plans that are shown on the screen, is to double the size of the existing community center and allow it to accommodate new restrooms, a food bank, expanded food bank, flex space for children's area and classroom, additional meeting arts and craft room. And in concert with the expansion of the building, the plan is to extensively renovate the entire structure, the entire exterior with a new roof, new siding, et cetera. In addition, there'd be added parking areas, walkways, native artwork, new lighting and landscaping for the property. Tab 4 of the project book includes information about the support that this project has received throughout, including financial support from the state legislature. I know that we have a member of the General Assembly here with us this afternoon, as well as through our federal government. You will see within that tab, there was support for a bond bill and funding through the bond bill. And you can see there's signatures of many area residents for this cultural center. In addition, you'll see information about the support provided by Senator Carper and Senator Coons. The intended use for this property certainly meets the general purpose of the zoning ordinance, and specifically, as it's a conditional use, section 115-171, as it is a public community center use that is essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare, orderly growth, prosperity and welfare of Sussex County. The proposed project, as you can see in the upper left-hand corner, provides a much needed renovation and addition to the Nanticoke Indian Cultural Community Center, and it is a benefit for the residents of Sussex County, not just as a community center, and you heard about all the activities that occur in it to assist the community and help the community, but certainly also as a cultural resource for the rich history of the Nanticoke Indian tribe here in Sussex County. That concludes my presentation. Myself and the rest of the team are happy to answer any questions that members of the commission may have. I do have a set of proposed findings of fact, and it's only one condition that gets modified, but I can hand that to Mr. Whitehouse and Mr. Roberts.
All right, sir, we thank you, Mr. Hutt. We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Mears.
No questions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Ms. Wingate.
I don't have any questions, but I would like to make a comment that I really, and I know I'm not saying this by myself, appreciate all the good stuff that happens out of that building, that site. Thank you.
Collins?
Yeah, I don't have any questions, and yeah, support the goals of the organization, so. Okay.
Butler?
I have no questions, and me personally, I support the project.
Okay, all right. Mr. Whitehouse?
No, for me, thank you.
Staff, anything? Okay, all right.
I have not so much a question, maybe it is a question for you all to ponder, and maybe a comment. You know, what we just got handed the proposed findings and conditions, which I get just to strike the first condition and change that. That's to say the building community center on the property shall be limited to 5,000 square feet. I guess my question is, does it make sense just to strike that condition completely? Because ordinarily, we don't require a building size. You know, that's governed by setbacks and parking and other geometric things.
I would agree with that. I mean, it's unfortunate that they had to come back here and ask for this. Yeah. I mean, you know, this is time and expense, and I would hate to see them have to do that again. So I would rather just let the size of the building be governed by the other regulations that are in place.
And it may be such a thing that if, you know, if you're, if I'm reading the tea leaves correctly, this is going to get acted favorably upon. But the ordinance that was previously approved in 90, whenever it was, 92, I guess.
I was not here for that.
Yeah, well, neither was I. But, you know, if we strike that first one, it's still going to be, it has enough coverage in there because adequate off-street parking shall be provided. Now, staff's going to make sure that it complies with the parking counts. And it still requires that the site plan approval be by the Planning and Zoning Commission. So they're still going to have to come back with a site plan to make sure everything fits in the drive aisles and everything else. So I think by deleting that condition, if you're inclined to do that, I think just makes it cleaner for everybody, including
great point, thank you.
Do you need to do anything about the prior ordinance that had that constraint in it?
Well, that would be the action you all would take when we refer back to it.
All right, Mr. Hutt, if you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2418, Nanticoke Indian Association?
Mr. Robertson said it wasn't a question, but I'd like to agree with what Mr. Robertson said.
Let the record show that Mr. Hutt agrees. Okay.
Make sure that's in the minutes.
That's the first time?
Let the record show.
It's a future billable hour.
Anyone like to speak in favor? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2418?
Yes, someone would speak in favor.
If someone wants to speak in favor? Okay, well, come on up.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jeff Hilovsky. I'm the 4th District Representative representing that area of the county. And I'm proud to stand here and say that the comments that I've received and the interactions I've had with the public are incomplete in favor of this project, and it will add value to the community and to the county in many ways. So I just speak in favor of it. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor? Okay, is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2418? Anyone on the commission have any questions?
No, thank you.
No, sir.
Okay, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the day to see if we make a decision.